Morning, everyone. My name is Fred. For those who don't know me, I just graduated from San Diego State University. I'm an international student. Thank you. Oops. So I was raised in China and have lived there for 20 years. My parents are both non-Christian, and for me, religion and faith were strange and weak words that conveyed no meaning to me. Back then, religion is not accepted by mainstream ideology. If you say you're a Christian, people will label you and think you as a weirdo. So the choice is quite simple. I don't want to be labeled, so therefore I'm an atheist. It's not a logical way to think, but that belief, right or wrong, got reaffirmed by the education I received, as well as the external environment I was surrounded by. At that time, people think religion as a way to escape from reality and a way fantasized by people to comfort themselves. This belief never got challenged to my first year in middle school. Our language teacher got pregnant, and school decided to assign a new one to our class. Everything went well during the first meetup until the very end of the class. Out of nowhere, she told us she's a Christian and she went to church every Sunday. I was like, good for you, and not interested at all. So after that, almost every single class she tried to squeeze a couple of minutes to share with us what she experienced as a Christian and why she deeply believed into it. But for me, the sharing part is just fun. I mean, the more time she spent on sharing, the less language class I need to suffer. So it's a win-win thing. It didn't really bother me. So even though sometimes things got a little bit off, especially when she story involved like miraculous things, but the most confusing part is she told us we are all sinful in one way or another, and Jesus died for us to wash all the sins away. I was like, that's too much. You blame someone's death on me and someone I barely know from your story. However, one thing I couldn't figure out back then is what really motivated her to share her religion with a bunch of 13-year-old kids. Back then, that time in China, religion was truly a personal thing. You're not encouraged to share with others in public, especially in a state-owned school. Teachers were told to only promote mainstream thoughts. Sharing religion with your students would certainly put your job at risk. So the explanation is either she's crazy, or what she shared to us is somewhat true. So just out of curiosity, I planned to read Bibles and even to go to church, but unfortunately, this journey never go beyond the planning stage, mostly because of the peer pressure, and you know all the cool kids don't do that, so there's no point to pursue that. So the whole thing pretty much left nothing in my heart, but nowadays I have to say, this is a seed planted by our dear father. So time forward, the first year of my grad school at United States, at San Diego State, friends of mine asked me to hang out with them at a bonfire near La Jolla Beach. They told me this event was held by Charis Christian Church. So when I heard the two words Christian and church, my reaction was not what I expect. I told them I'm down to it. I didn't feel upset about it at all. I can't explain why I feel that way. I want to say it's more like an unfulfilled journey than I must complete. Then that was fun. I mean, I would exhaust all the English words I know to talk to you guys. A language barrier. So the second day is Lovie, Grace, and Gordon invite me to Sunday service and told us, they told me Charis will have its own church. I didn't hesitate and say yes. And those days, I purposely pushed myself to do things I wouldn't even give a try before. I think it's all about to complete this journey about Christ Jesus. So I started attending iGrow and went to Sunday service. That time, I was still wrestling with me being an atheist. I challenged what I learned from Bible and what I heard from small group. That time, curiosity, confusions, and frustration are mixed together. This feeling lasts for a while, but I also want to say I can tangibly feel that God is working on my heart to let me embrace His love and accept His arrangement. That ultimately brings a peace to me and is a peace of mind that helped me to overcome the challenge and upside throughout the 2 years in life in US. Today, this is a milestone of my journey. God's given me the courage to stand here to share how the Holy Spirit reshaped my life. But I want to say this journey should never end. I know I must immerse myself more to His wisdom and through prayer to prepare my heart to keep the faith growing. So, Philippians 4, 6 to 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Thank you.
That's great. Fred, that was great. Every time I come near you, you feel taller. You seem taller. Well, good morning, family and friends who've come to celebrate baptism with us. Thank you for coming. I think your presence here means so much to the candidates who are being baptized, and we're so glad that we can celebrate this Sunday together. I'm Pastor Peter. I pastor this church, Kairos Christian Church, and I have some good news. Today is, because it's Baptism Sunday, we decided to make it all about testimonies today. And so there's no real sermon. There's no real long-winded sermon, all right? So that's the good news, right? But for many of you traditionalists who come to the church looking for the Word of God, I did for you prepare something, okay? Anyway, today we'll be focusing really on hearing what God's doing, what God has done, and God is still continuing to do in our baptism candidates. And so our worship will be filled with testimonies. But I just want to share a little teaching about testimonies and interject all the testimonies in through these points. And so today's word is 2 Timothy 1:8. It's not working. There you go. 2 Timothy 1:8 just says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. The Word of God encourages us, exhorts us, don't be ashamed. In fact, share it, proclaim it. Let people know what's going on in your life. And in doing so, you share good news. You heard Fred's testimony of a teacher that came in and just simply shared, took up class time, and just shared that she was a believer and why she was a believer. It does not mean she had to know every single item and things about the Scripture and the Word of God. She simply knew Jesus, and she shared about that, and she was not ashamed. And that seed was planted in China in Fred's heart, and continue to grow until he finally came to the Lord last year. Don't be ashamed of sharing stories of what God is doing, who He is in your life. At our church, we love testimonies. I personally love testimonies. We're blessed by them. We're inspired by them, moved by them, and we love testimony. And we hope that that our church will continue to be a testimony-sharing church. A couple reasons why the Word of God exhorts us to love the testimonies is this. First, the testimonies proclaim the work of Jesus. Psalm 66, 16, the psalmist says, come and hear all who fear God, and I will tell you what He has done for my soul. I may not know all the points that needs to be taught, and that's important, of course. But let me just share with you, and let me shout to the people who are here, simply what God has done for my soul. And the stories that you'll hear today reflect that, what God has done in people's souls. In the next passage, Luke 8:39, this man there encountering Jesus was set free from darkness. And right as soon as he was set free, Jesus tells him, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And then he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. He didn't take systematic theology. He didn't take membership class. He simply took Jesus' exhortation and his encounter with him and just went from city to city, neighbor to neighbor, friend to friend, saying, this is what Jesus has done for me. And that was the proclamation of good news. The last passage, 1 John 5:11, this is a testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And so we hear today from some of our candidates who've discovered eternal life along their way. And so at this moment, I'd like to invite two people, Kyle and then Jane. Kyle and then Jane will come and share their testimonies. Come on up, Kyle.
Hi guys. For you, those who don't know me, my name is Kyle Chang, and I'm a sophomore at UCSD. I have struggled for as long as I remember with having low self-esteem, whether it be stemmed from grades, social ineptitude, or physical ability, etc. So I always had to surround myself with people that could tell me otherwise and made me feel like I really belonged, and I wasn't those things. Last spring, I felt like God finally grabbed me and shook me awake. He told me that, well, I kind of knew, but these relationships were not very healthy, and I couldn't depend on them forever. So naturally, I just decided to stop talking to everyone. I had no friends. And so for the first time, I feel like I experienced true loneliness. But when I look back at that low, desperate time in my life, I realized that I really wasn't alone at all. In that loneliness, I started praying. I started going out to Kairos a lot more. And even though I regarded Kairos as this second-rate backup and only attended events sporadically, everyone still welcomed me back and loved me with open arms, which was definitely really surprising for me. During that same summer, I went back to Irvine, and the Tongs, an elderly couple from my home church, welcomed me into their house for a small group, and they selflessly helped me reaffirm my faith. They invited all my questions, all my doubts, even though I just met them, and I feel like that summer was when my relationship with God really began. Even though God met with me that summer, I still struggled to commit my life to him because I was terrified that someone would just confront me on the street and just challenge me about Bible head knowledge, and I wouldn't know anything, and then I'd lose, and then Christianity would lose another battle because of Kyle, and then, so I didn't want to bear that burden, so God, funnily enough, used a stranger named Tertius to conquer that fear of mine. During a basketball game, Tertius introduced himself to me. After a few pleasantries, he went straight for the question, where would you say you are on your walk? And I don't know what I was thinking, but I just shared everything. I just told him all my doubts. I feel like I'm 90% there, but there's that one 10% thing that if I get challenged on the street, I'll lose. And I'm really scared of that. And I kind of expected a negative response. I mean, this was like a Christian event, and at best, I expected a patronizing response about how stupid I was. I got the exact opposite, actually. Tertius, a complete stranger, opened up about his past struggles, and even though he was himself a pastor's kid, he went through the same doubts that I went through. And he really hammered through the idea that it's not about what you know, it's about what you don't know and how you use your faith to get through those times. And that was just the words I needed. And that night I was really excited. I actually wanted to message Pastor Emerson. Like, never happens, right? I was like, I want to tell him everything makes sense, yeah, woo. And next day there was, I think it's the same bonfire you were talking about. it was a bonfire event, and Pastor Emerson starts pulling me aside. You know, he like grabs you by your shoulders and he pushes you in a direction. And so I didn't know what it meant to be a Christian. I thought like baptism was how you became a Christian. So he starts guiding me towards the ocean. And so naturally I'm like, no, it's too late. But luckily that didn't happen. And that night I actually really declared my faith. And I remember the brief moments after I recited those words, how time really seemed to stand still and everything seemed to make sense at that moment. I was really surprised by how happy everyone else was when they heard, because yeah, that just never occurred to me. During the last few weeks, I've been really anxious about this event. I kind of pictured this event as my past secular life catching up and just colliding with my new Christian life. And I just, all I could think about was how the synthesis would mess up, all my relationships would fail. But as I sat down to write this testimony, I recalled all the times God pulled myself through all those hard times and made me realize that I'm really not alone in this struggle. I realized how through all these struggles and trials, God always pushed me to be a better and more mature Christian. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm a graduate student of business analytics at UCSD, and I'm also come from iGirl small group. And today, I would like to share with you my stories on the in the course of searching job recently. About 1 month ago, I was very desperate. After I submit my applications, all I got was either reject letters or nothing. The networking on LinkedIn seemed useless too. I seldom got reply from the people who I send message to. And the worst thing was that I always got a stammer when I faced with strangers and could not make pleasant conversations with interviewers. One Sunday after service, Angel, who is also an iGirl, shared with me her experience about praying to God, which made her examinations went very well. Her words remind me that I could have a conversation with God about my job. One night after I got another reject letter, I talked to him. God, I feel very sad, powerless, and desperate. It seems like everything that I did was useless. Hope you could help me. After this little prayer, I continued my searching on jobs. Very quickly, he responds. On the same night, I found a nice Chinese company based in San Diego was looking for project manager interns. The next day after I submitted my application, I got the interview invitation. After two rounds of interview, I got the internship opportunity. What was more exciting was that I got another two interview invitations from two teams of my dream company at the same time. The interesting thing is that one of the invitations was sent through LinkedIn message by one guy who I sent a message to about 2 months ago. And he has not added me as friend on LinkedIn, even now. But he sent me a message asking me whether I would like to talk with him about two positions. When I faced with so many opportunities, I started to worry about how to schedule the internship work, undergoing interviews, and my graduation plan. But God made decisions for me very quickly too, because I found the project manager intern didn't fit me very well after I finished my first day's work. And I was rejected by one of the team, which I had interviewed with. However, God gave me what I want best. I got the internship offer of my dream position from my dream company. And thanks God, I know he loves me And actually, we had a natural connection since I was a child. We talked a lot when I was little. However, as I was growing up, getting stuck by more and more stuff in the world, I gradually forgot him and always fight alone by myself. But now, I felt I was the beloved one again and find a way to reconnect to him. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Thanks, Kyle. You know, just in terms of Fred and Jane being saved over the course of this past year, they mentioned the name iGrow, the word iGrow, and that's our international student ministry. Four students continue to meet regularly, international Chinese students over the course of this year, and just answering a lot of questions about, asking a lot of questions about Christianity and faith. And all four of them accepted Christ this year, and we praise the Lord for that. And thank you to Lovey. Yeah, okay. And just, we really appreciate Gordon, Grace, and Lovey providing rides, just really answering questions, but overall ministering God's love, his truth, his heart, and his grace to them. And so keep up the great work, you guys. Great job, okay? So we share about testimony proclaiming the work of Jesus, and then two more points, quick points. Testimonies also carry weight. Testimonies in the Old Testament were actually part of their judicial system. And it's the way it's reflected in the American judicial system. We learned actually from the ways God has taught us. There was an instant in Isaiah chapter 43 where there's a great assembly of all the nations in this prophetic vision. And there is one witness that takes stance, and that witness is the nation of Israel. And as Israel takes that stance as a testimony, as a witness, it testifies of God, Yahweh, being the Lord and Savior, bringing the truth to all nations that there is salvation found only in God of Israel. And so with that kind of weight, the psalmist declares in Psalm 119:46, I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame, that I can stand even before the most people with most authority, people who would, you know, you would fear standing in front of kings. But these men, this psalmist, will stand without any shame, without any fear, for they testify truthfully. And in John, Revelation 12:11, John actually says, and they have conquered him, referring to the enemy, Satan. They have conquered the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That both the blood of the Lamb as well as the word of people's testimony, testimony of the witnesses, testimony of those who follow Jesus would also be victorious over the enemy's work. And so the testimonies that you hear, the testimonies we share, they carry weight. And then the last point of testimonies is they honor God. Matthew 10:32 says, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Ultimately, the testimonies you guys are sharing, the testimonies that have been shared over the years, they honor our God. And when you publicly acknowledge him, Jesus says that he too will acknowledge you and bring honor to you as well. I have one more slide that says in Psalm 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Let those who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ tell their story of what Jesus has done in your life. Some of you in this room, your story is filled with pain, confusion. You might be in the pages of your story, a chapter or a season where things are not going so well. And here you come to a setting like this, there's a lot of joy, you sense a lot of rejoicing. And yet, because your story is filled with a lot of pain, you sense a little bit of awkwardness. I do want to tell you that your story is part of the grand narrative, God's overarching story. And that story already has an ending. Revelations 21:4 says that there will be no more death, no more pain, no more tears, no more crying. For the old has passed and the new has come. We look forward to that ending. And today's stories that you hear, the stories, the testimonies that the redeemed are sharing this morning, reflect a little glimpse of the grand narrative that we believe in. And for some of you who are in the pages, in the chapters where there's some pain, I pray that the Lord would minister to you even today with his compassion and grace and strength, with his love, that he would be personal with every single one of you, knowing that he wants to write in your story the ending where there is no more pain, no more sorrows, no more death, and all that will pass away. Invite the Lord to your heart. Join him in his story and live in that story and see what ending the Lord brings you to. With that being said, we have three more stories to hear. So I'd like to invite Nathan, then Philbert, and then lastly Hiromi. So Nathan, Philbert, Hiromi, come and share us with your stories.
Hello. Hi, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Nathan. I grew up in the church pretty much ever since I was born. For me, going to church at a really young age, I felt it was like going to school. I was supposed to memorize Bible verses, like I was supposed to memorize what 7 times 7 was at school. By the time I was around fourth grade, I pretty much knew every Bible story there was taught at Children's Church, and pretty much knew all the songs by heart that even the teachers asked me to change the projector slides. It was around fourth or fifth grade that I accepted Jesus in my heart, declaring him that he was my Lord and Savior. And at the time, I thought that being a Christian meant continuing to gain new head knowledge of who God was and knowing the other Bible stories that weren't taught in Children's Church. I think the first time I truly realized what a Christian was supposed to be was in middle school, when I learned that it wasn't just following Jesus was just a good thing for me, but that God wanted a relationship with me as well. And I totally missed that part when I was younger. But over the next few years in high school, even though I knew this truth, I lacked the passion to know more about God and to grow more deeply in him. And I continuously had highs and lows of being on fire for God. And I think one of the reasons why, because I felt that most of the time, church was like a routine, just going through the motions. But the huge game changer was when I moved down here for college. And I immediately thought to myself, freedom, right? But even though I had this freedom to go to church or not go to church, I think deep down there was like a curiosity for what other churches were like, and maybe I'd have a new perspective and understanding of who God really is. So when I first checked out Kairos, I wasn't sure if it was because I'm a freshman, but everyone was so nice to me. Not just the first time, but every single time that I came here. So going to service and small group these past 2 years, or half quarters, not years, I've definitely felt a sense of community and love that I've never really felt before. And having this type of love and care for me made me realize that this was really God's love extending through people. One of these experiences I had was during the Kairos retreat in the fall. It was Saturday night, and they told us if anyone wanted prayer, we should come up. So I eventually went up, and I waited until Pastor Emerson laid his hand on my shoulder and prayed for me. And I remembered he prayed that he felt a sense of yearning for God's realness to be evident in my life, and that I was missing the feeling of God's love. And I don't know why, but in that moment, I started to feel really emotional because one, I never told Pastor Emerson about my life personally, and two, I didn't realize that I was missing the feeling of God's love. And it was then that that I realized that God's desire for me to have a loving relationship with him, that he wanted to have a loving relationship with me. And so going to Kairos and being surrounded by you guys, I was able to feel God's love, and it changed how I perceived of him. I was experiencing God's love and realness in my life that I haven't really felt before. And I realized that there is way much more to him than just knowing who he is. So now whenever I'm experiencing moments of doubt and insecurity, I know that God sees me as worthy of him, regardless of what others think of me. And church doesn't feel like a routine anymore. And every time I go to a small group serve or go to service and even read God's word, I don't see them as mandatory things anymore. But rather, I see them as opportunities that God has given me to grow in his relationship with him. Thanks.
Hi, if you guys don't know me, my name is Philbert. I'm a young adult here at Kairos. So I'm going to share with you my testimony today. So I come from a traditional Chinese Buddhist family, and growing up, I tried to be moral and good in the Buddhist and Chinese Confucian context. I prayed to idols occasionally, but otherwise, the only other times I was exposed to Chinese Buddhism was during holidays. Overall, I didn't understand spirituality or faith during my childhood, but I believed in higher power. In my senior year of high school, I met one of my best friends who was the first genuinely positive and down-to-earth person I met. I found out she was Christian, so I wanted to go to church to find out why she was the way she was. Through youth group and checking out fellowships in the beginning of college, I started to realize how sinful I was and lacking with emptiness in my heart, trying to fill voids with the world. Struggled with pride issues and cautiously sought God as I continued to go to different church events. I started going to a very conservative church, which continually emphasized our sinfulness, being godly, righteousness, and our need for salvation. Every service I went to was convicting and also made me fearful of death as a non-believer. I continued to go to that church, but found it hard to fit in as someone who was on the fence. I was part of a small group, but it was still hard to connect with people, so I felt discouraged. And being a longtime seeker, I also felt treated differently. Due to issues such as church, emotions, friendships, school, and worries of going to study abroad for the first time, I was at the lowest point in my life and I knew I needed God. So I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. When I went abroad, I prayed, read the word, and had fellowship with a brother from home there, and really felt God working in my life as I continued to grow in faith. After coming home, I was afraid of going to church again because of potential legalism over love that I experienced at my old church. My brother started going to church, so I started going to his church, but it was also hard for me to fit in because I couldn't overcome my fears of rejection and judgment. And I didn't want to commit since after graduating, I was ready to move anywhere for jobs. I lived in limbo for a few years, not presenting myself in positions where I could grow with God and be surrounded by a community. After visiting my friend's church in LA a few times, I met loving, faithful people who were in the same life stage as me, so I realized there could be a community out there for me at home. I realized God put me through the past few years of isolation to show me the importance of having community. Prayer, reading the word, and having occasional talks with believing friends was good, but not enough if I wanted to continue to grow and love the Lord and others. Through my walk with the Lord, he showed me that being part of and loving a community in the present is better than idling and living in the past or future, no matter how long you expect to stay. in the midst of our lives, with our human minds, we can't comprehend why we're going through our situations. But I learned having faith in Christ and continually seeking him, he will make your path straight no matter what kind of times you're experiencing. And he'll always love you as your Father in heaven. Overall, I've been walking with the Lord for a number of years now, and no matter where life can take us at any moment, I learned we should try to live in the now to love him and love others. I feel that God led me to Kairos, where I have found a community to be a part of and serve in the present, regardless of how long I think I may be here. And after hearing Pastor Peter's baptism sermon, which answered many of my questions, I felt called to be baptized, which Jesus also commands of us, as it serves as a spiritual milestone in our lives for us to look back on the commitment we made to Christ and will serve to drive us to continue to follow him in our future times. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. I shared in October, and I didn't want to repeat that story for anyone that was here, so bear with me. This is a little different, but anyway, my name's Hiromi, and I'm a young adult here at Kairos. When preparing for this testimony, I was reminded of Psalms 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. So I'd like to share of two moments in the past year that serve as spiritual markers of God's goodness and faithfulness in my life. In the fall, we had our church-wide retreat titled The Global Commission, and Pastor Jamie was sharing on the importance of not only sending missionaries afar, but on sharing the gospel right here in our own backyard of San Diego. That evening, I went up for prayer, and Victor Chi had a vision of a greenhouse with a white trim, and I was shook. It sounded just like the house I grew up in when I was a kid. And Victor's prayer was that God has been with me even since those days. I was really encouraged because this wasn't really something I had ever thought about before. And through all the lows and financial hardships and suffering, I sort of came to that realization that yes, he was and is working and showing us who he is in our own unique way. And I'll share more on that a little later. But I think this was the first time since I had accepted Christ into my life that I had felt the Holy Spirit move in me and make me want to listen for God's plan. A few months later, I attended my first Embrace retreat. I had heard stories of Embrace and how people are moved by the testimonies. Early on Saturday, as I was praying, I saw a piece of cold metal painted like a heart covering my own heart. And Vince Mantigue, who was my small group leader at the retreat, came over to me and prayed for me and had received an image of a wall coming crumbling down. And so when I reflected on those two pictures, I really saw how I was pushing those around me away from truly knowing my soul. When I first got to UCSD, I felt a lot of rejection by friends that I had tried to be vulnerable with. And after putting my heart out on my sleeve, which was something that I always felt comfortable doing, but this time being rejected, whether consciously thinking about it or not, I was taking it into my own hands to control how those around me perceived me. To give a little background, growing up, I witnessed drug and alcohol abuse, physical and emotional abuse, and a lot of financial hardships. I struggled a lot with my own temperament, as well as drug and alcohol abuse. But through it all, I tried to always be strong, independent, mature, put together, etc., because that's just what I was taught I had to do. But after checking my heart and Embraced and letting those in the community minister to me, I felt free of the wall protecting me from being vulnerable. In the last few months, I've seen myself requesting more prayer from those around me, sharing more in small group, and seeking one-on-ones to engage in more fellowship. See, God doesn't call us to come to him perfect. He doesn't expect us to have all the answers, and he really doesn't want us to try to hold on to the control of the situation. As Pastor Peter shared a few weeks back on Easter, God works through our suffering and brokenness. He places loving and nurturing community for those who need healing, for all those that seek and glorify his name. In the past year, I have felt so blessed and grateful for this community and the reminders God has placed in my life. And that's a big reason why I'm getting baptized today. As a public declaration of my faith, and because I know I'm not a lone ranger in Christ, but part of God's family. To sum it up, I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians 12:9, which says, But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest in me. Thank you.